world coming to. What people need today is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yeah, well, can people handle the truth, though?
I believe they can in the Situation Room. Welcome to the Situation Room, the program that applies God's word to our present situation. We take the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth of God's word, and apply it to our daily lives. Because at the end of the day, what really matters is not what I say or what somebody else say, but what does the word of God say? And I ask that you take everything that you hear me say or somebody else say on this program and you check it out with the word of God. Because if I or anyone try to put something on your spiritual plate that don't line up with the scriptures, well, just put that in your spiritual garbage disposal. Because all you want on your spiritual plate is the truth that's found in the word of God. And we don't have to be afraid to tell the truth because God is on our side. We don't have to be afraid to stand up for the truth because God is on our side. We don't have to bag up or shut up, but we can stand up and speak up for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when you're getting the truth out the word of God, then God is indeed on your side. Good morning, good morning. Welcome, welcome, welcome this morning to the Situation Room, the program that gives you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God. We hope and pray that you've been having a good day. It is indeed a plumb pleasure to have you. Thank you for allowing us to come into your home, your workplace, your automobile by way of internet radio. Oh, God is a good God. You know, this is a wonderful day and time in which we live. You know, I can pick up this internet radio on my smartphone. As I'm out doing my walk and stuff through the park and stuff, getting my exercise in, I can listen to the rebroadcast and stuff of the Situation Room. I can listen to a lot of the good, wonderful programming that we have here on KLITB. Don't we have some good, wonderful program, hon?
Yes, we do. We have some real good programs.
Informative. Informative.
Always learning something new.
Amen. Amen. Always learning something new. You know, that's what I like, you know, because God is a God that can give you something new, something fresh every day. Yeah, you know when God was leading Moses and them through the wilderness, the children of Israel, he rained down
manna,
fresh bread
every day.
Fresh bread every day. And that's what you get here at KLITB. You get some fresh bread every day. Every day. We got a wonderful program for you today. Today is the day that we take a look in the rearview mirror. This is our week of review. We kind of review where we have been this week. And so get you caught back up to pace. And I have with me in the Situation Room today my lovely wife, my companion. I'm so happy to have her, my wife, Marion Wilbert. How you doing this morning?
I'm doing fine, thank you. How are you?
Oh, I'm fantastic.
So are you ready to?
I'm ready. I'm ready.
Yay. Okay.
I'm ready to get started. I'm ready to get started. All right. Go ahead. What did we do on Monday?
We talked about, our article was entitled, Pastor Uses His Church as a Sexy Spring Break Nightclub.
Yeah, boy, I'm still thinking about that. Ooh.
Mm-hmm. And this happened in Florida, in Panama City to be exact. Mm-hmm. Panama City is known to have more churches than it does bars.
Yeah, that's still part of the, well, they don't call that the Bible Belt, but Panama City has a lot of churches down there.
So, but this one particular church, it positioned itself more like a strip club than a sanctuary.
Well, from what you read the other day and presented to us, yeah.
But anyway, each night of spring break had a theme. So Monday night, it was called the Youth Naked Paint Parties. And then Slumber Party Sunday. That's where it all started out.
It started out on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Slumber Party Sunday.
Yeah. And this promised they was going to have the sexiest ladies on the beach.
Uh-huh. So they're going to have the sexiest ladies on the beach. Now, wasn't this connected or sponsored by the fraternities?
Yeah, it was hosted by two fraternities. Okay. Kappa Alpha Psi and Omega Psi Phi. And the church, the fraternities at the church, they sort of build itself. This is in quotation, for the purity and for the nasty.
Yeah, for the purity and the nasty. Mm-hmm. And so one of the groups is known for the purity.
Boys.
And the other one is noted for being the most nasty. And so so they proud of their reputation.
They are very proud
And look like from this party, this week, whatever they called it, the spring break week, from looking at it, it looked like it was a pretty nasty party.
So as I was saying, Sunday night it was the slumber or pajama event that was hosted by the sexiest women on the beach.
Yeah.
Tuesday night, anything but clothes.
Anything, not the, see, was that Tuesday night or Monday night?
I'm sorry, Monday night bring you to anything but clothes. That's okay, what you're going to showcase
I remember
side.
After that, after the other day when you reported it after the pajamas on Sunday, then they came with nothing on Monday. So to me, the Sunday was a setup for the Monday, because you know you go from pajamas
to nothing at all.
And then on probably on Mardi Gras, probably the only thing they probably had was
a mask
on the face, and still probably just about a little bit of nothing.
And Wednesday night was wet and wild.
Oh my goodness! So that was the wet T-shirt stuff.
Yeah, and Thursday night was the illumination.
Where they get the water at? Party. I mean, was
well, it doesn't necessarily have to be water. It could be alcohol, because they was going to have alcohol there too.
Oh, okay. I was thought maybe they may had a pool or something that they was in. All right.
Yeah, and there was the tickets was $20, so they was making money on top of
this. Yeah, so this was a money kind of thing.
Oh, and it was sort of it was a deceiving advertising. It says the Tabernacle is a community that serves no alcohol and banned illegal drugs for the youth to go during the spring break at night to interact with others in a fun, safe environment up to 5 a.m. So you would think that would be a safe environment.
Yeah. That's probably what they put out first to the community, and then they may put that in the bulletin or something like that at the church. But secretly, you know, they knew
what was involved.
Yeah, you know, with these fraternities, they got the word out.
They did.
I'm pretty sure they got the word out.
It says, "Help us get the word out about our safe place to go instead of wandering a strip club at night." Well, you got the strip club at the church.
So they turned the strip club. Now, but you know, that's what Satan want to do, Marion. That's really what he want to do. He want to turn the church into a strip club. And if you don't have strong men's and women's of God, then the church will be turned to that. You got to have godly men's in leadership. And a lot of these young people who's coming up now, a lot of them basically are coming out the streets, and they just come into the church. But it's still the same crowd.
Yeah.
There's no change.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but, go ahead. I'm anyway, sorry, baby, but that just kind of get my dandruff riled up when
and the pastor of this church is, you know, he was arrested in September, and he was charged with delivering a controlled substance to a minor and felonies. And then also the report said that he was allegedly trying to chase a minor.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
Now, what's the take on this here? How should the church respond to this thing?
That we should repent. All of us should repent.
Yeah, you know? we should repent.
We're not committing the sin ourselves or participating in it, but we are a part of the church.
Yeah.
If the church, you know, one part of the body suffered, then the whole body suffers.
Yeah. So we in the church should not rejoice over this, mm-hmm. but we should weep over this.
This
should make our hearts ache.
Mm-hmm.
You're exactly right. This should make our heart ache, and we gotta start holding up the bloodstain banner, Sister Wilbert, because we can't surrender. You know, when people come into church a lot of times, they ask, you know, can we do this? Can we do this? And we need to be able to tell them, no, you know, this is a holy place. And why?
Mm-hmm.
They need to know why. You know, the Bible says, God says, be ye holy.
For I am holy.
Mm-hmm. And see, it don't even have to necessarily be a sin. The Bible even says, flee from the appearance of evil. So even if it looks like it's wrong, then we should not even be participating in it. Mm-hmm. Because it even looked like it's wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the question that you pose is, where is the fear of God? People don't fear God anymore. That's not really being preached.
Yeah.
About the fear of God.
All right then, Sister Will, but that's good. Let's move on to Tuesday. What happened on Tuesday?
On Tuesday is marriage questions and answers, and so we had some good questions. Are you ready?
I think I can remember a couple of them.
Okay. Question number one. My wife say that I don't give her much attention like we used to when we were dating. She say we need to still be dating even though we are married. Do we still have to date even though we are married?
Well, I told the person, yes, you still need to date. Your wife is right. Yeah, you still need to date. You know, it's all about integrity. Whatever you've done to get the person, you need to do the same thing.
To keep the person.
You don't ever want to make a person think that you done deceived them. Mm-hmm. See, I married a couple the other day, and I told them what the wedding ring stand for. The wedding ring is, number one, it's in the form of a circle,
right,
which shows that once it starts, it never stops. Like a straight line has a beginning and has an end, but a circle, once it starts, it never stops.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and when you draw that circle perfect, you don't know where it even started at.
Right.
Yeah. And that speaks of everlasting love. Once the flame of love has been lit, it needs to stay lit. And you give that wife, that husband, they exchange rings. And the thing about the ring is a token. It's a token of your love. So what a token is, it's an expression of something, but it also lets you know that there is more to come. There's more to come. And so that's why people get married. They say, hey, we had this much fun dating,
so we should still,
man, let's get married.
We still have fun.
And boy, we're going to have a whole lot more fun, because the date normally was like on a Friday night or Saturday night, once a week or twice a week or something like that, two times a week you'll see the person. But if you marry this person, they thinking that, hey, you know, we're going to have some fun, you know, just about every day.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you can't go back. You got to go forward. You got to go forward. So whatever, go ahead.
So a lot of bubbles have been burst after they get married.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they think the expectation that they had when they were dating, they still think they're going to have the same expectation after they get married and they see that it's a difference.
Yeah,
they sort of feel like.
And like I told you, like I answered that question on Tuesday, it's not so much, trying to go to the Hilton or downtown Dallas to the ball or reunion arena.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about, trying to go to a real expensive restaurant or something like that. But it's more or less the thought that counts. It's getting out, like I shared with them, Thursday nights when the boys was little. That used to be our date night. And we would go out and we would eat ice cream and stuff or go to different hamburger places and eat us a hamburger and stuff. Something real simple. And all we was doing was just spending time with each other. It was just about spending time with each other. And that's what they need to do. They just need to spend time with each other.
Spend time with each other. All right, ready for number two?
Yes.
Question number two. My spouse and I are of different races. My spouse is not comfortable at the church that we attend. He has found another church that is an interracial church. He wants me to leave my church and join him at this new church. But I love my church. I have prayed on this matter, but I don't think that I have received an answer. What's your advice?
Well, the key is finding a biblical church.
Right.
See, it's not about trying to go to, I don't know what the races are, but let's say a white church or a black church, but you want to be in the right church.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the key. Get into a Bible teaching church. And if he's not happy at the church that y'all currently attending and he has found this interracial church, well, just check it out. Make sure it's lining up with the scriptures.
Okay.
Sister Wilbur, you have any, what's your take on that?
Like you were saying, that they need to find a church that they're both comfortable with. That both, that the church is preaching the word and, as you say, it's lining up with scripture. But they, she had mentioned that she has been praying.
Mm-hmm.
So what about him? Is he praying too?
Yeah.
Since they're one, they need to be, this is something that they need to be praying on together.
Yeah.
To come to an agreement with one another.
Exactly right. And then, if they was both going to this church and then all of a sudden he's no longer want to go there, then my question is, too, what happened?
Mm-hmm.
They may want to talk it over with the pastor or something, but most of the time, when people get it in their minds to leave,
they do.
Then most of the time, they're going to go ahead and leave. Mm-hmm. You're not going to hardly be able to talk them out of it. And I wouldn't so much try to talk them out of it, but they need to fix whatever is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But then, the church is a Bible teaching church, and the man is the head of the house.
Yeah.
So she should follow him if it's a Bible believing church.
Yeah, and that's
be
very
submissive
good.
Because he is the
the
head of the house.
The head of the, he's the responsible party. Mm-hmm. God is gonna come to him and say, Adam, where are thou? All right, Sister Wilbur. What about on Wednesday?
On Wednesday we had Bible questions and answers. Oh, this is a good one. You ready for it?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Is the woman equal to man?
Is the woman equal to the man? That was Wednesday. That sure was Wednesday. What's your take on that, Sister Wilbur? I took the view that they are, the scripture teaches they are equal in terms of creation, but they're not equal in terms of function.
True.
You can just look at the anatomy of a man and the anatomy of a woman, and you can see that God plumbed them differently. And that's because God wanted them to function differently. You know, he gave the woman tools, you know, to have a baby and to nurse a baby. But he didn't give man, you know, the male, the tools to have a baby. He can help in making the baby, but he can't have a baby, you see. So God has designed us differently. What's your take? I want to hear your take on it.
It's a chain of command in the house, whereas...
law and order, huh?
Law and order, whereas, you know, the head of every man is Christ, right? So in Christ a man is the head of in his house, so then the woman is under him.
Yeah.
And that we are the weaker vessel when you are dealing with that. And then we sort of...
When you say now weaker vessel, you're going to have to help us...
The heart.
Mm-hmm.
We are moved with emotions.
Yeah.
We are very emotional people.
Uh-huh.
Women are. Uh-huh. And so we're led by our feelings. Whereas a man looks at things and he's going to be...
More objective.
Objective and look at reality.
Yeah,
I would say. A lady will.
You can easily sway her because of
the heart. Her feelings are immediately gonna go out.
Yeah, and then too. Also, when it says about the woman is the weaker vessel, you can easily hurt her feelings.
Mm-hmm. And be unaware that you are.
Yeah.
You have hurt your feelings. So
yeah. And so a woman needs a covering. Mm-hmm. See, when Adam came here, Adam covering was God.
Right.
And so when the woman come here, that woman needs a covering. She needs some protection. She needs somebody to provide for her and to protect her. Yeah. And so just like man is a weaker vessel in God's eyesight, then a woman is also a weaker vessel. And that when we're talking about weaker vessel, it's like a precious crystal jar or something. And I tell couples when they get ready to get married, look at your wife like a package that says, handle with care.
Fragile.
Yeah, she's fragile. Handle with care. So that's kind of, you know, a good analogy of what we're talking about when we say that she's a weaker vessel. Mm-hmm. And so, all right. And so, you know, we need to honor our women's more. This society don't really honor women's like we should, Sister Wilbur. You know, God then put all of that responsibility on the woman. And today, there's the women's are trying to be their mother, and father,
and everything else,
and friend, and coach. They're trying to be more than what God has intended for them to be. God just wants them to be a good mama.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so we got to show more respect to our women, Sister Wilbur. Okay. Yeah.
So you ready for the next question?
Yes.
Next question is, can you get ahead of the will of God and miss God's will for your life?
Yes. Yes, you can. The Bible is just full of illustrations all over. You can certainly, I mean, the first story of Adam and Eve, they got ahead of God's will for their life. And they entered into the permissive will rather than God's perfect will. Mm-hmm. God said, don't eat off the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And they ate off the tree of knowledge of good and evil. They got out of God's will. Sister Wilbur, what's your take?
I say that we do get ahead of God, because God can have something else planned for us. And we have a plan ourselves. But if God don't answer us in the time frame that we think he should answer us, we take that as, well, God is not answering my prayer. We just go on and do whatever it is that we want to do. And then find out later that, you know, I made a mistake. I should have waited. Mm-hmm. So we do get ahead of God all the time. Mm-hmm. It's not just here and there, but all the time. Mm-hmm.
We do. You know, I remember the story of Samuel and Saul in 1 Samuel 13. Samuel told Saul, listen, I'm going to come and I'm going to offer the burnt offering before you go to war. Mm-hmm. And he hadn't came yet. And so Saul started panicking, and Saul went on, and he stepped out of his place mm-hmm. of king and tried to be a priest. Mm-hmm. And he offered the offering. And right after he offered the offering, Samuel came.
Yeah.
And Samuel says, listen, because, you know, you did that, God going to take the kingdom away from you and going to give it to David. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because... that was kind of the straw that broke the camel's back. He had done some other things, but one of the things that he also did, he got ahead of God's will for his life.
All right.
All right. Do we have time for Thursday? That was the Sunday school lesson.
Thursday, the Sunday school lesson for next Sunday is titled, Believe in the Resurrection.
Believe in the resurrection.
And it is coming from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 22.
Uh-huh.
And we're going to be looking at how the gospel is vital.
Uh-huh.
This is what Paul is teaching and preaching, and also the evidence that we're going to be looking at.
The evidence for the resurrection. All right,
good.
So the resurrection is based on facts, not fiction.
Right.
Okay.
And so that's what we're going to be looking at on next Sunday.
All right. And what's the scripture, just in case somebody don't have a Sunday school, they can at least study the scripture.
1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 22.
All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 22. All right. Now you make sure that you go to church, but more importantly, make sure you start by going to Sunday school. All right, Sister Wilbert. Well, look like that's going to be it. We got Monday through Thursday in. This was a real exciting week. Had some tough questions, but keep sending your questions in. 972-257-3766, or you can email them at BibleWayIrvin@gmail.com. All right. Thank you for joining us today. Let me encourage you now to stay with us the rest of the day. Remember, my format here at KLITB is at the top of the hour. We minister in the word, and at the bottom of the hour, we minister in the mix. That's music and a whole lot more. At 9 o'clock, I'll be back with a look in the book. I'll let you listen to a portion of a sermon I preach right here at Bible Way Community Baptist Church, a wonderful church right here in Irving, Texas. If you're ever in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, you just gotta stop by. You gotta stop by and worship the Lord with us right here at Bible Way Community Baptist Church. Now, let me warn you, you're going to enjoy yourself. Then at 10 o'clock, that's time for a program called Unshackled. It's a radio drama, and it'll make you face yourself and think. 11 o'clock, we'll take a deeper look in the book, let you listen to a portion of our Wednesday night Bible study. Then at 12 o'clock, if you missed any of these programs, guess what? We begin to rebroadcast them. So listen to us all day long. Tell a friend, tell a neighbor, tell a co-worker about us, because we're in your corner right here in the Situation Room. God bless you. Have a good day.